4 of the book of Mark. I'm going to talk about hearing today as we look at this passage. We started speaking of the seed and the planting of the seed, and the Lord Jesus, as he was using parables to teach the people. And of course, he said he was using parables for the purpose of keeping the truths from some, but so that others might know the truth. And due to the fact that the Jews rejected him, he came into his own, but his own received him not, it tells us in John chapter 1. And due to the fact of the cold, dead heart of the Jews at this time, even though here was Christ the Savior that had been promised in the Old Testament, he spoke in parables to keep the truth from those who were rejecting anyway, and their hearts were cold and dead to the truths. And he tells us that was the purpose of hiding that truth. And so only those who would truly believe and truly desired to believe could hear and could understand as the truth was made known and then even opened up further at a later time. But hearing is an interesting thing. I know at my house, I'm not sure at some of yours how things go, but when it comes to my wife and I speaking, it gets interesting sometimes. And she'll say, "I told you that. I told you that." And I'll say, "I don't remember you telling me that." "Well, I told you that." And then I'll say, "Huh." And she gets upset having to repeat things sometimes. And yet it's, for the most part, my hearing is still pretty good. In fact, she gets really upset when she and one of my daughters will be in the kitchen whispering. And I'm clear in the other room, in the living room, and I will say, "What was that? How is it you can hear us in here whispering when I talk to you straight on and you don't hear what?" I don't know if any of you have had those kinds of problems or not at your place or been around, but frequently it happens. And I've told her, "Honey, there's only one thing I ask of you. If you're talking to me, wait till I look at you. If I'm looking at you eye to eye, I'm listening. But sometimes I've got my mind on something else, I'm listening to something else, I'm reading something," and she'll be two sentences into something before I realize she's actually talking to me. Now, there's nobody else in the house, but you know what I mean. And so I'll look up, but I missed the first part, so I'll ask her to repeat it. Well, that doesn't always go over real well. And so it's one of those kinds of things. And hearing is an interesting thing. It's funny, the Bible shows us that there are, teaches us to be hearing. As you look in the book of Proverbs, it's emphasized quite a few different places. And someone has said, in regard to those things, God gave you 2 ears and one mouth, so he expects you to listen twice as much as you talk. That's usually not the case, is it? Our hearing is difficult. And a lot of times, if we would stop and listen, it would save us a lot of problems, because we respond before we've heard the whole matter. We would respond before we've heard the whole discussion. And sometimes, if we'd listened to the whole thing, we wouldn't have had to respond, and it would have saved some other words that would have created problems and all those kinds of things. So it's important that we be good hearers. And the Lord Jesus, on a regular basis, called upon those who would hear. It's even like here this morning, there are those of you who love truth. You love the Word of God. And so you listen when the Word of God is taught. Now sometimes, even as those who love truth, if our hearts become somewhat cold and become somewhat dark due to things we've allowed in our lives that shouldn't be there, and the Holy Spirit's convicted us, but maybe we've persisted in that, then when the truth is presented, we close our ears, because the truth would convict us. It would bring us to a point where we would have to deal with that issue that's in our lives. And so rather than that, as it were, we try to think of other things. It's a good time to look at our phones, or it's a good time to to look at other people or start trying to think about what they didn't do was right, that you felt was right, rather than what your heart is doing or where you are before God. So hearing is something that we work on. Hearing is worship. Did you know that? When we shut out other things purposefully to listen and to hear the Word of God as it's taught and explained, that's worship, because our minds all want to run some other direction. In our flesh, as well as Satan not wanting us to hear, our flesh doesn't want to hear the truth. And that's why the Bible constantly tells us we're at war with our own flesh. And so our flesh will do everything it can to divert us away from hearing the truth. And so it's a work sometimes. It's like praying. Praying is work. Because you'll find when you go to pray, immediately you need to have a piece of paper there beside you when you pray, not to make a list of your prayer requests, but to plan your day. Because everything you've got to do that day will come to your mind when you try to pray. All the issues that you need to take care of will come to your mind while you're trying to pray. Your mind will just start keep clouding things in there. And someone told me the best way to outline your day is first thing in the morning, get down on your knees to pray, put a piece of paper right there, and the devil will plan your day for you. Because he'll bring everything to mind. Your flesh will bring everything to mind so that you'll have everything all planned out and worked out. And then you can get down to the business of truly praying. Sometimes one individual said, when it comes to prayer, usually the last 10 minutes of prayer, if we've prayed 30 minutes or even an hour, sometimes the last 10 minutes is where we really get something done, because it takes that long to get our minds and hearts in order to actually talk to God. It takes a period of time. That's why rushed prayers where we just run out the door many times are not really dealing with the issues we need to deal with, because we really haven't taken the time to enter the very presence of an almighty God who can handle those things and give him the honor and respect that he deserves. And so hearing is important. Hearing is a vital thing. And as we look at this passage again in chapter 4, we're reminded of the seed that was sown. The seed that was sown. And just quickly look at verse 3. It says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened that as he sowed that some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. Some seed fell on the thorns, among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But the other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, everybody there had ears. If they didn't, I'm sure he fixed that. But everybody there had ears. But what's it mean? Some of them didn't have ears to hear. In other words, they didn't come to truly listen. They came for the miracles. They came for other reasons, to see him accomplish something as in a circus act, but they really didn't come to have their heart changed. They really didn't come to be convicted. They really didn't come to listen to the truths and promises and the great grace of God that could be presented to them. Instead, they were there for other reasons. And to those folks, again, as he spoke to all of them, "He that has ears, let him hear." Well, of course, the disciples are there. They heard, but they still didn't understand. And so when he was alone, it says in verse 10, those around him, the 12, asked him about the parable. What in the world does that mean? We want to have ears. We want to listen, but we don't have it. And so he goes on to speak to them. He says, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables." Outside, again, to those who do not really seek the truth. He said, "So that seeing they may not perceive, and hearing they may not hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." Again, because they've shut off their hearts, they have been doomed as far as eternity is concerned. God has shut them out of believing and of understanding. Verse 13, and then he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? There's a truth for us right there. In order to understand all the parables, you have to understand what? This parable. In order to understand all the parables, you have to understand this parable. If you get this parable, everything else starts opening up as far as the Jewish nation, as far as truth of the gospel is concerned. It begins to open your eyes to all of them. So when you see the other parables that Jesus is going to teach, compare them to this one, and they will become clear in what they're referring to. You have notes usually in your Bibles, or if you have a commentary or something, make sure it's one that really believes in the basic truths of the Bible, but it will help you with some of those things. But again, you'll be able to understand because of comparing and seeing how it fits along with this one. Again, look at the explanation the Lord gives. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. These are the ones by the wayside. The word is sown, and when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So again, the birds come. Satan is representative. The birds are representative of Satan. That will be helpful in other parables as we look at them. But the birds come and they take the seed. Doesn't have any chance to take root whatsoever. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves, and so endure only a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things, entering choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on the good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now looking at this parable again, at other passages, we understand God is the one who sows the word. The word is the word of God. And as that takes place, we are involved in the midst of all of that in receiving the word as it comes to us. The Holy Spirit distributes it in our hearts, in our minds, and we receive it and we believe it, or we turn against it. You run into people all the time, well, I don't believe the Bible. Most of them, when you ask them, well, what parts don't you believe? They haven't read it. They haven't read it. And they just automatically don't want to believe it because they've heard they would have to change their life and their lifestyle. Even though that's the thing that happens afterward, they've already heard about that. And so they're concerned about how it would change their life, and they don't want to have anything to do with that. And so they're like these others who won't hear. They're like the ones who the seed is taken away by the birds. They've already made up their minds in that regard. Again, the next group are those who are very shallow. In other words, they see Christians excited and happy, and they see people sharing together, and they think, hey, that's great. I'd like some of that. And they start toward the idea, I think I'm going to come to church, think I'm going to believe, yeah, I'm going to do all that. But then somebody says, you're going to church? And other issues they face, and they get some of the pressures that God tells Christians you're going to get, and immediately it's, whoo, don't want any of that. Then you see the ones with the cares of the world, the fence row ones, where they're sown, and they start to actually grow. And so you see these where there's a faith in their heart. It isn't complete to salvation, but it's starting, and they're starting, and oh, this is great, and then all of a sudden they decide, you know, I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to be involved in that, and it contradicts some of the things that are in Christianity and that kind of thing, but I'm more interested in these things, whether it be materialism, more interested in heaping up, owning things, I'm more interested in this or that, and they let those things, as it were, crowd out God's work in their heart, and so nothing happens. There's no fruit in their lives whatsoever. Nothing takes place. And I believe, again, these people haven't come to a complete understanding of salvation, because the Bible teaches anybody who's truly saved, there will be fruit. There will be fruit. And so we see that last one then, where it's sown on the good ground. The ground has been cultivated. In other words, they have had things happen in their lives that have prepared them, whatever it might be, to receive the gospel. It's just like the plow goes through the ground and turns the earth over. And then after that, the disc comes over to chop up all the hard pieces of dirt that have dried in the sun, and they've turned hard like a rock. And so the disc comes over and chops all those up. And then the cul-de-packer comes over after that and smooths it all out really nice. And then you come along with the planter, and the ground has been prepared. It's been ready. And that's when we talk about revival sometimes in the lives of people and preachers coming in revival preachers, they come in thundering many times with truths and bring them to our hearts. And what's it do? It breaks up that hard ground like the plow. And it begins to chop up that ground like the disc. And then it begins to pulverize those chunks that are still there like the cul-de-packer. You know, may not know what a cul-de-packer is, but just go with it. Anyway, it's just smooth and round with some points that stick out on it. So when you go over the ground, it just makes it really smooth. That'll help. And then behind that, we drug bed springs. That was always the thing that helped the most. And I'm just sure you can see that in your mind. It was quite a menagerie. We were a little embarrassed sometimes. But boy, did it make a nice place to pull the planter behind as you did it. My uncle was the great bed springs guy. He was an auctioneer, so he was able to come up with lots of bed springs, the old-time bed springs that are just open. And so you drag that along behind. It's smooth, the ground out really nice. Never mind. Anyway, but then the seed was ready to go in the ground. Well, a heart has to be prepared, doesn't it? And you'll talk to some people and they're not ready, but you know, sometimes they'll have a tragedy in their lives. They'll lose a loved one, or they themselves will face an illness. You know what happens? Boom. Those hard places of their life begin to break up, don't they? And you'll begin to see a softening and a smoothing out. And then the seed can be planted, and that's why we need to be ready as believers. But just because somebody rejected before doesn't mean after God works on them that they won't be ready to receive. And then God will do that dynamic change that only He can do in changing their life and making them that brand new person. And that brand new person does what? It bears fruit. That's what the Scripture tells us. So as we go on to the next verses, they have to do with that whole idea that we've shared there. So as you look at verse 21, and He says, said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. And what's He say again? If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So a lot of the things that are in these parables will eventually come open for everyone to hear, but for this time, for the Jews, it was hidden. After the Lord Jesus raises from the dead, and then the disciples are given the commission, great commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and the church is given that commission. Then He says, after you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses. These things will all be clear, and you'll pronounce them to everybody, because the power of the Holy Spirit will be there to bring people to salvation. But again, to the Jews who have closed their heart and closed their minds at that time, it was put in what would seem as to them a mystery in parables as He taught them through that. And so we find, He says, eventually these things will be made to see. In verse 24, then He said to them, take heed what you hear, with the same measure you use. And again, listen to the hearing part. Take heed with what you hear, or heed what you hear, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. And so again, the thought, some hear, some don't hear. Those who hear will receive more. Those who don't hear will not have anything. We'll talk about that in just a moment. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And He said, the kingdom of God is as a man, if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is grown, sown on the ground, it is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may rest under its shade. With many such parables, he spoke to the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. And so again, as we go through this passage, we've got two or three more parables that are added on to the parables of the seed. And so the first thing we want to realize as we look at this, again, is the whole aspect of hearing. Are you here to hear? If you're here to hear, God wants to reveal spiritual truth to us. You know, if we're here, again, for other reasons, it will blow off and won't accomplish what God wants the Word of God to accomplish. So those that hear and accept the truth and apply it are those who are blessed with more truth. Truth is vitally important. Without truth, you cannot be saved. Without truth, you cannot live the Christian life. Without truth, you have no hope whatsoever, and yet truth comes through hearing. Again, when you read in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it tells us that here the preaching is important for salvation because salvation comes by hearing. Hearing. Without hearing, you can't be saved, can you? You have to hear the truth. You have to hear the Word of God. And so again, that's vitally important. Those who ignore the teaching of the truth are those who will not receive any more truth. But who also will lose even what truth they have. So in other words, those that reject the truth won't get any more truth, and even if they have heard some truth, that truth won't be of any value to them. It'll all be taken away because they haven't followed truth to the point of truly trusting Christ as their Savior. John chapter 10, and if you'll turn over there for just a moment, the Lord Jesus speaking kind of gives us a picture here again as he refers to himself as a shepherd, as he's the great shepherd. And of course, we think of Psalm 23 in greater reference to his shepherding. And that's often quoted, I believe, in reference even in that psalm to the perfect shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you read John chapter 10, he speaks of the fact that he's the good shepherd. And you'll notice in verse 27, the scripture says, my sheep, what? Hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. There's eternal security for you. You can't be snatched out of the hand of the Lord Jesus once you're saved. And you can't be snatched out of the Lord Jesus because he's in God. And God is in control of the situation. And nobody can get to you. Praise God. So if you've truly trusted Christ, we have that hope. But notice, he says, my sheep hear my voice. The distinguishing mark of a true believer is that they receive the word of Christ, God, and apply it to their lives. They follow. If you look at chapter 10 and verse 3 also, it says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Look also at verse 4, and he brings them out. When he brings his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of stranger. I was at Peter's house the other night, and we were standing on the deck, and the kids were out in the woods. And so I used to call my kids all the time. I had my own whistle. I won't do it because you won't be able to hear for a while after that. But anyway, I had my own whistle. And, you know, when I was home, it was really neat because we taught the kids when I whistled like that, it meant come. I didn't ever use it unless it was really meaningful, important that they come, because I didn't want them to not come. And so I tried to save it for when I really needed them to come. Well, I would whistle and they would come. And even to this day, it's funny, if my adult children are at my house and I whistle like that, they look at their kids and say, come on, we got to go. It's pretty neat. It still works. Well, I was at Peter's, and so I saw the kids in the woods, and I thought, so I'll whistle. So I whistled, and they didn't do anything. I whistled again, and then my whistler wasn't whistling quite like it ought to whistle. And they wouldn't get in. So Peter does another whistle. It wasn't near as loud as mine. It was a cute whistle, but it wasn't. There's loud. Here they all turned and started coming. And he said, they know my whistle. Well, his kids knew his whistle. They didn't know my whistle. And so his kids came running. Well, that's the whole idea the Lord Jesus is speaking of here. My sheep know my voice. And supposedly, this is crazy. It's kind of hard to understand. But shepherds, as they take care of sheep, they have their own certain sheep that they take care of. But at night, a lot of times, they'll put several flocks of sheep in the same corral. And I would think, how in the world are you going to, you know, a sheep's a sheep. How are you going to know which sheep is what? And they say, the next morning, the shepherds, each one goes out and calls, and his sheep will all come out, and off he goes with them. The next shepherd calls, his sheep come out and go off with him. And the next shepherd calls, and his sheep go off with him. They only go to the voice they know. And that's why the Lord Jesus was able to use this illustration. He says, my sheep, they hear my voice. And real sheep are not deceived by a false teacher. If you look in verse 16, you also see, these likewise are the ones sown on, excuse me, I jumped back to Mark, John chapter 10 again, verse 16, he makes a distinguishing remark here. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Other sheep I have. I had a guy one time tell me, he said, hey, I always knew there's aliens in the Bible. This is where it is. I've got other sheep that aren't of this fold. In other words, he was saying that with the idea in his mind that they weren't of this world. They were from another world. So he had a whole other group of people. No, well, what he's referring to is, who was he speaking to this whole time? Jews, okay. And who are the ones that are not of that fold? Us. Gentiles. He said, I've got other folks. And of course, we saw that all come about as the Apostle Paul began to share the gospel with all those that he's with. So as we, again, look back at this, we see four different things that, real quickly, we need to look at. First of all, if you've received the gospel, you are to let it show. We see that in verse 21. Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? You said, how do you know this is the gospel? Because that's what he's speaking of with the seed. And even the fruit bearing is also speaking of people coming to Christ. People coming to Christ. All of us are to be testimonies. All of us are to be witnesses. You say, well, I'm not dynamic like such and such over there. Well, you notice it says 30 and 60 and 100. It's not the idea if you're a 30, you're trying to become a 60. It's not giving that kind of an idea. It's just that God knows there are different ones and will have different fruits, but all of them are blessed. It doesn't say one's more blessed than the other, does it? They're all bearing fruit and they're all blessed. And again, this is you witness where you witness, and some people are more able to witness to a lot of people. Some people, if they witness to their own family and to their neighbors, it's really pushing their comfort zone, but they do it, and so God blesses them. That's the key as you look at this. Well, then you see the next verse, he says, how can you don't have a lamp to put it under a bushel. That's not the purpose. That's not the purpose. So in your house, if you bought a bunch of candles, but you put a cover over all of them, what good would that do? But instead, you set them up where the most light will come from them to light the room, especially if there's a power outage. We have light bulbs today. We don't think of that. But even those, we don't put a cover over them. And so he says the light should shine. And so all of us here today, everyone as you go out of here, you should be a light for God. You should be a light carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people see that in your life. And they will. The world is dark. They'll see it. They'll see your actions. They'll see your attitude at work. Those things, Christ will shine through. And, of course, we should be speaking in regard of that to that also. But we'll notice in verse, the first thing, four things there I want you to see, and we're going to have to hurry through these. But number one, listen with a purpose to obey. Listen with a purpose to obey. Number two, listen with great appreciation for what you are hearing. Listen with great appreciation for what you are hearing. Number three, listen with intent to depend on the Lord, only on the Lord. Listen with the intent to depend only on the Lord. And last of all, listen confidently that you're hearing the truth. Listen confidently that you're hearing the truth. Now, as you look at this, there are several other passages that deal with light, and we're not going to take time to go now. The Lord Jesus speaks in the Sermon on the Mount. He refers to hiding a light under a bushel. Also, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, there it speaks of the light and our light as believers shining and taking care there. But as we look at that, then we begin to see down through these passages what he's speaking of. So the first one, again, listen with the purpose to obey. So he's saying your light should be shining. He said, you don't set a lamp, you don't put it under a bushel. Let your light shine. And so the Lord Jesus sovereignly chose to leave them in the dark and only enlighten those who desired to hear and follow the truth. And so in the same way, those who received the word were to let that word show. They were to let that light show. The disciples would be one. They were to let the words of Christ show through them. And of course, ultimately, in reference to the gospel, once a person puts their faith in the gospel, then the truths would come through. Then we see in verse 22, for there's nothing hidden which will not be revealed. And again, as I mentioned earlier, there are things that are going to be revealed at some point. Now, we fortunately have the whole truth. We've got the answers to those parables. We've got the answers to the mystery of Christ's coming, the mystery of the cross, the mystery of salvation for the Jews, all those things that the Bible tells us the prophets in old times searched and longed to look into, trying to figure out what would happen. And the scripture says we today have all of that truth explained to us. It's all clear here. We are of all people most blessed because we have all of that truth. It's laid out for us. Now, he who sows sparingly, verse 24, he said, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. And so we come back to that whole idea. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. You've heard. Take advantage of what you've heard. You know, many times I had a young man come to me the other day, new Christian, fairly new Christian, and he's all excited. He wants to share the gospel with people. And he said, could you give me some tracts and could you give me some pointers? Could you help me? I really want to start telling people about Jesus. And I said, no, I don't think you should do that. No, I was thrilled. I was thrilled. Man, I weighted him down. He had so many tracts he couldn't hardly get out of here the time I got done with it. But he was thrilled. Well, first I'm going to do this. He said, now I'm working on what I'm going to say. And so we talked about that some. But he said, you know what? I figured out if I talk to enough people, I'll figure it out. That's a good attitude to start with. Yeah, if you talk to enough people, you'll figure it out. You know, that's why you're excited about new believers, because they're all excited about what they got. Some of the rest of us, sometimes we've had it so long, we've kind of got used to it. We take it for granted. We need to be fresh hearers, don't we? We need to realize, hey, that gospel is just as powerful today as it was when I got saved. I need to be letting people know about it. We need to be obedient and carry it to those who are around. We need to be careful that everybody around us gets a chance. And as we use the gospel, even more opportunities and more will be given to us. You'll be blessed, and you'll notice it's a thing of measurement. It's like more will be given. More will be given. And so there's a blessing in that, but it first comes with obedience to what we have heard and doing that which we have heard. And then that was the second point. Got to look back at my notes here. I'm sorry. Listen with great appreciation for what you are hearing. So again, we need to be thankful for what we've heard, and then we need to abundantly react or use it in that way. And then the third thing is listen with the intent to depend only on the Lord. That's where this next story comes in here. As you look in verse 26, kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground, should sleep at night, rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. I plant a garden every year, and I till the ground. I work it up. My rototiller tills the ground all up. I try to make it smooth, and then it tells you right on the package how deep to plant the seed, so I try to follow that, and I found if it has fertilizer and if it has water, it will grow, as long as the sun, everything works out, temperature and that kind of thing goes along with it. But I'm not down there coaching it. I'm not on my knees yelling, now, here's the next thing you do. You know, could you see a guy out there? You'd say, we'd take him off to the crazy farm or something like that. I don't have anything to do with it. Once I stick that in the ground, I'm done. I mean, other than, like I say, try to give it what it needs. Other than that, I can't do anything. I don't understand it. The Bible talks about, the Lord Jesus uses it as a reference. He said, when the seed's dead, and it is dead. And when you try to figure it out, here's a dead thing, you throw it in the ground and we can all act pretty haughty. Look what I grew. You didn't grow it, did you? You took a dead little seed and you threw it in the ground, and God did a miracle in that thing, and through the water and the sun and the resources that are there, all of a sudden this new plant pops up. That's what it says here. The guy has no idea how he did it. But what's kind of humorous, it says, but when the grain ripens, in verse 29, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. In other words, he doesn't need to know how it happens, but when it's ready to harvest, he's going to harvest. It's like a guy said, I don't know how electricity works, but I'm not going to sit in the dark. In other words, if I got to sit and get a complete understanding of how that works before I'm going to be in the light, I'm going to be in trouble. In the same way, he says, I do what I put it in the ground, and like I do in my garden, when the green beans come on, I pick them. And we can them. And in the middle of the winter, I enjoy those fresh green beans. I used to tell my kids, I'd ask them to help pick, and they weren't excited about that sometimes. And so we'd tell them, okay, you just eat snowballs this winter. We're eating green beans. And they'd go out and pick. They thought that was a good idea. Maybe they ought to pick some green beans too. But again, we don't know how it happens. And you know, that's the way the Spirit of God works in somebody's heart. You take the simple gospel message and you share it with somebody. I don't know how the Holy Spirit does it, but he transforms a person. He changes them. He makes them brand new. Isn't that exciting? He turns them around. Sometimes we forget the power of the gospel. Sometimes we back off maybe because we think, you know, those verses I heard, I know they changed me, but maybe they don't do that anymore. The power of the gospel changes. The power of the Holy Spirit changes, makes people brand new. And so here he's saying the harvest comes in. And so we plant the seed. Again, notice he doesn't describe the planter or the seed. The seed's the word of God. What can you do to make that better? Nothing. Nothing. Seed's the word of God. The person planting it, the one putting it in the ground, again, it doesn't tell you, we need to change him, we need to do this, he needs to look this way, he needs to look that way. It doesn't describe all the things that we work on today. So, oh, you got to do this, and you got to do this. We don't have to add anything to the gospel. You know, if we just give people the gospel, that's what has to happen. But everybody's trying to come up with ideas and things. But nothing works better than one-on-one sharing the good news of Christ with somebody and giving them the opportunity to see what Christ has done for them. That's the whole hope. But we try to get away from that. We want the big meetings. We want all these things so that there's not that personal involvement, but God wants that personal involvement there to be used. And then, as you see, it worked through all that, and then we need to listen confidently as we see the parable of the mustard seed. He said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or to what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when sown in the ground, it's smaller than all the seeds on earth, but when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches. And so here's a picture of the church, again, planted as a small seed. And you know, when you stop and think of that beginning, here's Peter preaching in Jerusalem, and he preaches the first gospel message, and 3,000 are saved. Now we'd say, that's a tremendous meeting. I'd love to be at a meeting like that. I would too. That would be fantastic. But how many people were in the world, in the whole world, were born again at that point? Okay. After the message was preached, how many? 3,000. Okay. That's pretty neat, but that isn't very many, is it? When you got a whole world, that's not very many. And so you're thinking, oh my goodness. And then later he preaches, several more thousand are saved. And then we find in chapter 8 of Acts, the Christians all go out and begin to scatter because of persecution. And it says everywhere they went, they were preaching the gospel. Now again, the leaders of the church were still back at Jerusalem. This was the believers that went out. They were sharing the gospel as they went out from there. And then today, all of a sudden, we keep hearing of the different people that are saved and different things that are going on. And we think of the 12, then the 120, then the 3,000, and then millions around the world. As somebody has even said, billions. And of course, again, I struggle sometimes because of what the Bible says real believers are. So where that number is, I don't know. But what happened? It multiplied, 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 multiplied. And that's what he's saying here. The gospel, the seed, when it's planted, it will grow into a huge, huge plant. Now notice the birds. What did we say the birds represented earlier? Satan. You know what will happen? There are people that aren't born again that are going to come into the church. And they aren't truly saved. Some of them might try to act like they're saved, but they're not truly saved. They're going to be under the protection of the church from the standpoint they're there with everybody else. They're enjoying the fellowship. They're enjoying all the things going on. But they haven't truly been born again. What will happen when the end comes? All of a sudden, they're not part of the church. They'll be judged. They'll be taken care of just like Satan will. Only that which is fruit of the tree itself, of the mustard seed, will be the fruit that's there. And that's going to happen everywhere. That's what the Lord Jesus is telling ahead of time. There are going to be those that aren't saved that come. The problem is when the church becomes like those. Instead, the church needs to be that vital organism, not organization, but organism that's carrying out the word of God, and each one of us are responsible. We have the seed. Listen again, the seed is able to do the changing within itself because God has made it that way. But the seed has to be planted. The seed has to be planted. And as you carry the gospel message, God is doing the work in the heart. He's changing the life. Just like that seed you put in the ground, it does all those things on its own because God's put it in there. In the same way, when you share the gospel message, God does the work. We just need to be faithful in making sure everybody has the opportunity to hear. We need to be hearers. We need to be hearers. And as James said, we need to be not only hearers, but doers. Doers as we carry those things out. Let's bow our heads in word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that are presented. Lord, again, we can try to justify ourselves in not sharing the gospel, but it doesn't fit these passages or these parables, as even the disciples were constantly admonished to carry the word. And even as we come to the beginning of the church, we see go into all the world, preach the gospel. After the Holy Spirit's come upon you, you shall be witnesses. And so these are vital things that are necessary and should be an automatic product of our lives. Father, help us to not become lackadaisical, not to become to the point where we take things for granted, but help us to constantly be searching your word and searching for those that we can share your word with through tract, through testimony, Lord, that we might see everyone have a chance to hear. And those that hear and believe have the opportunity to become part of the church and to grow and to also be carriers of the word. Thank you for your great plan. Help us to take our part in it. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, first of all, maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. God wants and has planned to redeem us from our sin. He has cleansed us through the power of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and made us brand new as believers. He changes your heart. You don't have to get better and then trust Christ. You trust Christ and then He makes you better. Maybe this morning you would say, Pastor, I want to trust Christ today. I want to find salvation that you were speaking of. I want my life to be different. I want to be a hearer that was truly hearing and know that I'm on my way to heaven for sure. If that's the prayer of your heart this morning while no one's looking, would you just say, pray for me? Pray for me. Raise your hand wherever you are and just say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to know I'm saved. Any others this morning? Pray for me. I really need to know for sure that I'm born again. I want to be that kind of hearer. Then what about your testimony? Was there a time when you, boy, just couldn't wait to tell everybody, but you're not that way anymore? That's the thing we should look at. You say, I'm not that way anymore. My life needs to truly change. I need to be where I'm, again, excited about what God's done in my life. And not as a guilt thing. I don't want people to go out here, oh, I got to share the gospel. I hope you go out and say, I get to share the gospel. I get to share the good news. Because it transforms lives. You make a difference in the eternity of someone. What greater difference can you make in a person's life than that? We get the chance to see their eternity, their destiny, different if we take that opportunity. How many of you say, I'm challenged in that way? I want to become a better witness for the Lord Jesus. Just lift your hand and put it down. God bless you, many of you. Father, we thank you again. Help us not to become cold or useless in our desire to share the word with others. Lord, I pray that we become faithful beacons, faithful lights in this world. Especially the darker it gets, the brighter the light shines. Help us to be that light, I pray in Jesus' name. And for His sake, amen. I trust this morning we could